Welcome to Misunderstood, a podcast dedicated to better understanding MS and learning to live well with MS. I'm your host, Katie Sloan. Our usual reminders as we begin. I am not an expert, just a person like you living with MS and trying to make the best of it. Misunderstood is based on my personal experience, what I've learned from my doctors, other care providers, and my own solutions-oriented research and pattern-finding obsession. While the majority of the information I share has been vetted by doctors, I am not a doctor. My intention is that you use the information shared here as a springboard for discussion between you and your doctor regarding your future care options. And lastly, MS impacts each of us uniquely. I hope to shine a light on a wide range of approaches and strategies for living better with MS. But what you choose to do with that information is always your choice. And what works for one may not work for all. In our previous episode, we looked at a number of recent, relevant, and reliable tools that can support our MS health. I hope it illuminated a pathway or two of interest for you as you continue on your personal wellness journey. Today's episode will be short and sweet, as it has been another busy month. And most of all, what I'm hoping everyone gets out of this episode is the focused desire to both welcome and intentionally create more opportunities this summer to experience awe in our lives as a powerful wellness tool. I'm currently reading a fantastic book called Awe, The New Science of Everyday Wonder and How It Can Transform Your Life by Dr. Keltner. While I'm only 5 chapters in and won't be able to speak to the book in its entirety today, I had an extremely powerful personal experience full of awe and wonder this Memorial Day weekend and felt so moved I wanted to share it with you today. Because I had read parts of this book before this experience, my experience was enhanced exponentially, as I had a much better understanding of my physical and psychological reactions and the positive impact it was having on me in real time. So, without further ado, let's dive in and talk about the power of awe. For my gratitude portion of our episode today, I am incredibly grateful for my partner's grandmother by marriage, Miss Annie. While I never had the opportunity to meet her during her lifetime, I have had the opportunity over the years to learn a lot about her, her family, and the incredible life and legacy she built with her husband. In a nutshell, they were fascinated by automobiles, and while their appreciation ran the gamut, from historical motorcycles with sidecars, to classic cars, to San Francisco streetcars, to trains, both full-size and scaled models, this led their family to build an incredible museum in the middle of the last existing orange orchard in Los Angeles, full of cars that were often used in movies. After Miss Annie's passing, much of the museum property and collection was sadly dismantled and scattered around the world to others who shared their deep appreciation for moving vehicles. Probably the most famous vehicle that they had in their collection was a beautiful 1913 Peugeot Grand Prix car that was the winner of the 1916 Indy 500. I'll post a picture of the car on our Patreon page so y'all can see it if you like. Speaking of the Indy 500, my partner has been blessed to inherit one small piece of their legacy, their tickets to the Indy 500 in Indiana, the greatest spectacle in racing and the largest sporting event on earth. Now, while I've always had an appreciation for cars, my favorite being a 1946 Oldsmobile driven by my dad's Uncle George, now in the care of my brother, I never thought I'd get into racing. But if you've been to the Indy 500, you know how the experience grabs your heart and soul and holds on to it. Today, we'll dig into the science of awe and how it can support our health and wellness and truly transform our lives. I'll share a few more tidbits about the awe I experienced this weekend. And as we do this together, be thinking how you can create more opportunities in your life to experience the incredible power of awe. So, thank you, Miss Annie, for the incredible legacy you and your husband built and preserved over time, for the awe-inspiring opportunity to sit in your seat that you chose as the best view at the greatest racing spectacle on earth, and for giving me the wonderful gift of collective awe this past weekend. Its magic will last for my lifetime. In Awe, the new science of everyday wonder and how it can transform your life, we first learn that after teaching happiness to hundreds of thousands of people around the world and researching how we can live our best lives, the author, Dr. Kelchner, who is a professor of psychology at UC Berkeley and the faculty director of UC Berkeley's Greater Good Science Center, has landed on the single most important pathway to joy, community, belonging, meaning, worthiness, and true happiness. And that, my friends, is awe. In his book, awe is defined as the emotion we experience when we encounter vast mysteries that we don't understand. And just like our MS is a unique manifestation in each of us, our pathways to awe, too, are unique. But what's universal is that we can find awe anywhere, and it's often free. And in fact, even brief moments of awe are amongst the most powerful transformative experiences we can experience as humans. Take a moment to ponder what initially comes to mind as you think about times in your life that you've experienced a sense of awe. An experience that you can pinpoint as a moment in time when you were inherently a different person before and after. For us, awe may even be part of our diagnosis story, or one of what the author calls the eight wonders of life that include the strength, courage, and kindness of others, collective movement in actions like dance and sports, powerful interactions with nature, moving experiences with music, art, and visual design, mystical encounters that are hard to explain, encounters with new life and death, and big ideas or epiphanies. Hopefully, you can locate at least a few moments of transformative awe that you've already experienced, and today we'll learn about the positive impacts of sharing the awe we've already experienced, the eight ways of we experience awe, as well as several ways we can intentionally create more awe in our lives. Longtime listeners know that we've spent a bit of time throughout a handful of episodes talking about ego in different forms. For example, when we've talked about the judge and nasty saboteurs that we all have in the context of the PQ Positive Intelligence Mental Fitness Program by Shirzad Chameen. This judge, this ego, or nasty voice in our heads that can run a constant narrative of opinions about ourselves, others, and life circumstances is what many experts in psychology believe is the root of all our misery in life. This leads us to get stuck in the lower frequency emotions that can be difficult to navigate. And today, we're learning that the single most important pathway to joy, community, belonging, meaning, worthiness, and true happiness, those higher frequency emotions, is awe. So if focusing on experiencing awe can help us quiet this voice, move us to open our minds to the many awe-inspiring wonders available to us in our lifetimes, I am all in. At a webinar with Dr. Peyrovi and Dr. Teitelbaum earlier this week, Dr. Teitelbaum powerfully shared that a great way to think of this negative mind chatter is as the, quote, universe giving us choices of how to proceed in life. We can certainly decide to grab hold of every negative thought that enters our minds and continue to feed it so it will take us to an even darker place, or we can choose to acknowledge that we have a choice in the matter. And the easiest way to get ourselves to a more positive place is to get into the now, because when we live in the now, the ego quiets down. And it turns out that the most powerful way to quickly get fully into the now is to experience awe. So how on earth do we do this? Let's spend a bit more time describing awe. And again, as we do, be thinking about times in your life you may have already experienced awe. You might even consider jotting them down somewhere and spending time later journaling about these feelings of awe, as even reliving these moments through putting them on paper or sharing them verbally with others can return us to the magic of the moment when we first experienced that particular awe in our lives. When we experience awe, we might experience being amazed at things beyond ourselves. We might experience chills, tears, widened eyes, open mouths. We might voluntarily say, wow, ah, or whoa. We might experience a significant shift in thought, leading us on an entirely different trajectory. Most of what I've read so far is about the science of awe and stories of transformative awe, and I'd like to share some highlights from those sections with you today. In terms of the eight wonders of life, these were discovered through years of scientific study. Participants were provided with the definition of awe that I shared, being in the presence of something vast and mysterious that transcends your current understanding of the world. And then they were asked to write their own stories of awe. From this, they landed on, again, that we are most likely to experience awe, one, when moved by moral beauty of other humans, like other people's courage, kindness, strength, virtue, character, or ability to overcome. I experienced a lot of this type of awe this past weekend at the Indy 500. Through the moving celebrations honoring the heart-wrenching sacrifices of our servicemen and women that enable us to live the lives we live. There wasn't a dry eye in the Speedway. We are also likely to experience awe when experiencing what the author refers to as collective effervescence. These are moving experiences with others, often including things like weddings, funerals, graduations, sporting events, family reunions, rallies, or parades. I definitely experienced this type of awe this weekend, watching the pre-race Golden Knight parachuters land with accuracy and multiple impressive flyovers in tight formations. I also experienced awe observing the incredible feats of the drivers navigating the race at speeds exceeding 200 miles per hour with 300,000 of my fellow fans. The fascination of seeing drivers walk away unharmed from intense crashes that completely obliterated their vehicles. Or the amazingly close battle to the finish line, won by Joseph Newgarden, becoming only the sixth driver in race history to win back-to-back races. We are also likely to experience awe when experiencing nature, exceptional beauty, the vastness of the stars, any of the attractions protected by national parks, and even cataclysmic events such as tsunamis, earthquakes, and wildfires, to name a few. Since I have a generous partner, he gives me the window seat on flights because he knows I can get anxious while flying, and being able to see out the window helps me maintain a sense of calm while traveling. And he also knows I enjoy watching the patterns of the clouds shift and the changing topography as we fly over long distances of a wide variety of landscapes. Experiencing such beauty helps me maintain a positive mindset and gave me enough energy to handle weather-induced cancellations and last-minute changes to connecting flights that we almost missed that might have otherwise negatively impacted our trip. This awe definitely gave me the strength I needed to positively navigate the 20 hours of intense travel it took to get there and the 12 hours it took to get home just 2 days later. We also experienced a four-hour race delay due to severe thunderstorms. Amazingly, nobody left. We all huddled under the metal grandstands together in awe as we watched the swirling winds and prolific hail. We are also likely to experience awe when experiencing music, like at concerts, religious ceremonies, or singing in harmony in a group. This weekend, we experienced a beautiful rendition of our national anthem by Jordan Sparks, and Philip Phillips sang God Bless America. Both were moving beyond words, and again, not a dry eye was to be found in the Speedway. We are also likely to experience awe when experiencing beauty through visual art or design, like historical landmarks such as the pyramids or modern marvels of architecture. At the Indy 500, I experienced this type of collective awe as we watched in disbelief the various technologies used to thoroughly dry off the rain-drenched speedway to ensure the race could safely occur after the thunderstorms had passed. Not to mention, all that goes into creating the mind-blowingly fast and uber-lightweight race cars, and the pit crew technology and rapid execution of car maintenance by the team during the race. It was like watching an intricate dance with each tire, oil, and fuel change. I was even in awe of my wool clothing, which helped me, as a premenopausal and MS heat-sensitive woman, remain comfortable with its temperature-regulating properties through exposure to all sorts of inclement and humid weather with lots of physical exertion. We are also likely to experience awe when experiencing spiritual or religious events or mystical events that are particularly moving. There is always a blessing or invocation before the start of the Indy 500 to give gratitude for the day and our lives, and also to bless and pray for the safety of the drivers. We are also likely to experience awe when experiencing new life or the transition of someone. And I love how the author puts this, so I will quote, "The transition of someone from being a breathing physical being to some other form of existence." At the Indy 500 each year, they honor a fallen soldier and their Gold Star families. This year, we celebrated the brave sacrifice of a young 19-year-old soldier and had the opportunity as fans to collectively share our immense appreciation for the sacrifice he made to save lives and ensure our many freedoms that we're privileged to experience. We also got to share our heartfelt condolences with his father, sister, and nephew, who were in honorary attendance. It brings me to tears right now to remember this beautiful tribute and how everyone stood to honor the sacrifice he made and that his family lives with each and every day. Whew. And finally, we are also likely to experience awe when experiencing epiphanies. When we level up our consciousness and suddenly view the essential truths of life in a very different way. Because I was in the process of reading this book and had been learning more about how our bodies and minds experience and react to the feeling of awe, that timely new knowledge exponentially enhanced each and every experience I had this past weekend. I better understood what I was feeling and why, so it was different than any race I had attended in the past. I'm also pretty darn sure I wouldn't have had the energy to enjoy the weekend considering all the physical and mental demands encountered through challenging travel and consecutive days of 10,000 steps, which is a lot for me, and minimal sleep each night. In addition, sharing these 8 aspects of awe with my partner and being able to share with him what I had learned about awe to enhance his experiences too, that brought us even closer, and that's pretty special after close to 20 years of togetherness. I hope that you've had recent experiences with these 8 wonders of life that inspire awe. Another fascinating fact that I learned about the awe study data is that only 5% of stories of awe are beyond these 8 wonders of life. And interestingly, what wasn't mentioned at all was accumulating wealth or everyday things we highly value and seem like such a huge part of our lives, like our laptops, smartphones, or fancy cars or expensive jewelry, proving that awe is not at all associated with capitalism, materialism, or status. Awe is much more often associated with once-in-a-lifetime experiences, and yet there are ways that we can experience awe every day. Most everyday awe experiences are with just 3 of the 8 types of awe. 1, moral beauty of our fellow humans, those exhibitions of courage, kindness, strength, or ability to overcome. 2, encounters with nature. And 3, experiences with music, art, and film. So the really good news here is that while some aspects of awe are rare for us to experience and might not be in our control, we can actually deliberately seek out awe in these 3 areas quite easily and often. We can intentionally read or watch to learn about incredible humans, past or present. We can go to museums, theaters, and now even experience many special places through virtual tours online. And it's easy to experience everyday awe in nature. For a backyard garden or even a view from a window contains many opportunities for this. As longtime listeners know, I walk my garden every day to see what's new. And every day, there is something amazing that I photograph. By revisiting these photos, I get to experience the awe all over again. Coming soon, Dr. Peyrovi will be joining me for an episode exploring the power of nature. So stay tuned for that, as we'll share a number of creative ways to access awe through nature. For now, if we can't get outside easily, Planet Earth or other nature videos can be enjoyed from the comfort of our homes. This is especially important for those of us who experience either physical challenges, like mobility limitations, or other types of limitations like heat, cold, or light, sensitivity, or aversion. One show I enjoy that inspires awe is called The Reluctant Traveler. It's with actor Eugene Levy, and quite funny. And so much is available for free on YouTube, regardless of your specific interests. What's fascinating is that we can experience positive biological and psychological shifts through experiencing just 5 minutes of daily awe. So imagine how much better we might feel if we dedicated even more time to daily awe. And you can also likely imagine how incredible I'm feeling this week after such an uplifting, awe-filled Indy 500 experience. Awe truly changes us, and when we experience more everyday awe, we become more open to new ideas, to seeking new knowledge, to understanding how we are deeply connected to one another and our surroundings. We even gain more comfort with the vast mysteries of life. We silence our inner judge or critic, which leads us to being able to live in the higher frequencies like joy and steer clear of depression and anxiety. We become more curious. We gain energy, which is critical for those of us who experience debilitating fatigue. We are more able to discern and better understand opposing opinions. We better appreciate the natural gifts of others. We become more aware of how our relationships impact the course of our lives and our levels of enjoyment. We realize how many choices we can make each day that impact our lives in either positive or negative ways, so we can have healthier bodies and minds. We're better able to work through traumas and heal and grow. We become more creative. We become more collaborative than competitive. We become more generous and giving. We understand how it's all and we're all connected. The physical aspects of feeling awe, like tears, chills, woes, these reactions are universally understood and transcend the barriers of language and time. I'll share a few more aspects of awe that I found fascinating. We, as humans, are wired to move in unison. And when we do, we build empathy and connection with others. Think of how uplifting it is to participate in an in-person yoga or Zumba class, or a mosh pit at a concert, or to do the wave at a large sporting event. Did you know that even our biological rhythms sync? It's an emotional contagion. And for example, our heart rates even sync at an intense sporting event, like the NHL hockey playoffs happening right now. And how babies mirror movements they observe and learn how to smile back at us. And in fact, it's not just us. Many animals do this too. Think of how schools of fish move together in unison, or how flocks of geese move together to increase their overall speed and efficiency. When we move our bodies in unison the way they are meant to be moved, these are some of the most powerful ways to experience awe. So I'm leaving us all, myself included, with a task to try, if interested, this week. The idea was developed by Professor Keltner in partnership with UCSF neuroscientist Virginia Sturm. Participate in an awe walk or roll or even watch. Their instructions, adapted for us. Number one, tap into your childlike sense of wonder. Approach what you see on your walk, roll, or watch as if you are seeing everything with fresh eyes, imagining you're seeing it for the very first time. Take in the vastness of things. Zoom out and look intently at the panoramic view. And close up in great detail, like at a leaf or petal of a flower. Number two, go somewhere new or watch a travel show of somewhere you've not been before. we're more likely to feel awe in a novel environment where the sights and sounds are unexpected and unfamiliar. We can also experience awe, though, at our favorite spots when we revisit them by deliberately focusing on recognizing new features of that place. Big trees near bodies of water, looking at the night sky, viewing sunrises and sunsets, visiting historic monuments, intriguing architecture, museums, botanical gardens. Choose something that calls to you and lean in to notice how it speaks the language of awe. Did you know that as humans, our happiness tends to be highest between the ages of our mid-50s and 75? Why? This is the age range when we realize just what makes us happy. And it's not money, titles, or status, or other forms of success. It's actually meaningful connections with other humans that make us happiest. When we participate in awe walks, rolls, or watches, we will feel happier and more connected. And in fact, in a study of seniors aged 75 and older, which is the age when we might start declining in happiness, those who participated in the weekly awe walk felt significantly less anxiety and depression, felt less physical pain, and experienced significantly greater joy. Isn't awe great? I'll keep reading Awe, the New Science of Everyday Wonder and How It Can Transform Your Life, and invite you, if so inclined, to consider reading it too. How wonderful to know that we can use awe as a wellness tool and that there are 8 accessible ways to create more ways to experience awe in our lives. So, my hope today is that we all, 1, remain active participants in our own healing by purposefully engaging in as many of the 8 awe-inspiring pathways as possible to best support our physical and mental well-being over time. 2, that we commit to experiencing at least 5 minutes of awe each day to help us live our best lives. This is important for all humans, and especially those of us who live with the added challenges that come with chronic illness. And 3, that we consider engaging in journaling or sharing our previous experiences with awe with others, or commit to going on an awe walk, roll, or watch with someone special so that we can create opportunities in our lives to experience the power of collective awe. To continue this conversation about the power of awe, you are invited to attend this weekend's Flock meeting via Zoom on Saturday, June 1st. If you're not yet a Flock member but would like to be, please join us. We are all people living with MS from around the world that meet via Zoom monthly to support each other and continue our learning on the episode topics. We also support each other through hardships and celebrate our successes together. You can learn more and join us by visiting our Patreon page. And Flock members, I hope you'll bring with you this weekend examples of awe that you have experienced in your life, as well as ways you plan to add more daily awe to your life. As always, I encourage all listeners to reach out with MS-related questions, comments, future podcast topics, or guest ideas via email. And lastly, remember, as we travel through life with MS, we're certain to hit some turbulence. We'll get through it, especially if we're flying together, supporting one another, and honking our encouragement. As always, thank you for listening, and until next time, be well.